You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, did you get that joke I sent you?
Oh, well, no, I didn't. Don't.
Because you can deliver a joke very well, and I thought I'd send it to you. What are you doing? Are we still on air?
We're on air as we speak. What joke did you want to do? Well, how are you for a start, Don?
Well, I'm all right, Johnny.
What, you weren't here last week?
No, you know why I wasn't.
Yeah, no, you injured your back.
Yep.
Did we find out how you injured it?
Yes, it's called work, manual work. Do you know what manual work is?
Now,
no,
Don,
you wouldn't.
What?
You wouldn't.
No. Now, Don, what is the joke before we start off?
Well, you're very good at delivering jokes.
Yeah, okay.
Jokes.
What is the joke?
Well, I sent it to you, I think. Did you look on your phone?
Oh, geez.
No, what do you mean?
What do you mean? What did you send it on? Which phone?
Message. Here it is. Read it out. There you go.
God.
See if you can deliver it.
A man was riding on a full bus, minding his own business. Is this what you're doing?
No, come on, You got to put it. You're a very good storyteller. You've practiced for years.
Is this the best content that you've bought today?
No, I've got a lot of stuff.
A man was. This is Don's joke.
No. You're delivering
it. A man was riding on a full bus, minding his own business. When the gorgeous woman next to him, I'm reading this out for the first time, so I don't know what it's going to say. I don't know what it's going to say. I'll start again. A man was riding on a full bus, minding his own business, when a gorgeous woman next to him started to breastfeed her baby. The baby wouldn't take it, so she said, "Come on, sweetie, eat it all up or I'll have to give it to this nice man next to us." 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, the baby was still not feeding, so she said, "Come on, honey, take it or I'll give it to the nice man here." A few minutes later, the anxious man blurted out, "Come on, kid, make up your mind. I'm supposed to get off in 4 stops.
Oh, yeah, well, that was very well delivered.
Because...
I sent it to you through the
because,
week.
Because, Don...
You could have put a bit more into it.
Because when I turned the phone side on to read it...
Oh, don't...
It went back into small print on the vertical phone, so I had to read every word almost as it came to view. So I couldn't do...
You sounded like a first grader the way you read that.
Yeah, because... You read it out?
No, I don't. I'm not... I can't deliver
it. You can't read.
I know.
Now, Don, before we start, Don...
Jesus, don't blaspheme.
You brought that joke. You sent that to me.
Come on.
What happened to you to your back, Don? You hurt it manual labouring, and did you? How have you fixed yourself up?
With medication.
Marijuana oil.
Did actually. Hey, my grip strength's improved.
What, grip strength? What have you been gripping
about,
Mara? Should I ask what you've been gripping?
Well, grip strength is when you can hold something or undo a lid. I couldn't undo the top off a bottle and things like that. But that marijuana oil has done something my grip strength.
Do you know the mobile phone has taken over from the greatest handheld instrument that's ever been invented in the world?
I'd be lost without mine.
Do you know what it overtook from the... the mobile phone has taken over from the most handled, gripped thing in the world. Do you know what it took over from?
Male or female?
Male. A man's dick.
Really? That's
what it's taken over from, Don. Did you know that? Now,
do you hold it when you have a leak?
A big pardon?
Have you got to direct your old fella when you're having a leak?
Someone at the door. Just a minute, Don.
What have you got on? What have you got? You've got braces on and you haven't even got on a pair of shorts.
Now,
You are.
Shut up, Don.
You are eccentric.
I had to let.
Why have you got.
Settle down, Don. I had to let Max in. So
but your dress. Your dress.
You asked me, do I. What did you ask me before I even answered the door?
About how you urinate at the urinal. Or do you just point Percy at the porcelain? You're talking about the most handheld thing.
Yeah, it's taken over. The mobile phone's taken over. And you asked me, do I hold it when I?
Well, what do you or do you just point Percy at the porcelain?
So Don, you're asking me when I have a leak at the urinal or whatever, do I just take it out of my pants and just let it hang without actually holding it? Is that what you asked me? Mm. Well, with a view to not trying to piss on my pants or my shoes, I probably hold it, Don.
Do you?
Yep.
Oh, I see.
Sorry we're having this discussion in front of Max. I'm not sure.
That's okay. It's only natural. Is this part one or two?
This is... Oh, we've just started.
Don, just started?
Just got here. Don. What do you do, Don?
It looks like he solves crimes.
Two hands.
Mm. You hold your dick with two hands when you have a piss. Mm. That is just... No one ever does that, Don. That's like a fire hose.
Yeah, it's a fire hose with varicose veins.
Are you all right today?
No, I've just had one of these protein balls from BeFit Foods.
How are you feeling, Don? We missed you last week.
Did you, Max?
I did.
Jeez, you got nothing in your life if you miss me, Maxie.
You're very, very right, but how are you feeling?
Good.
You're dressed very sharp. Do you ever hear of the Spectre back from the 80s?
The what?
The private investigator, the Spectre. That's what you look like. You've got the big trench coat on. You've got the hat.
The Inspector, I suppose.
Oh, Inspector.
Did you not hear
I thought you said Spectre.
No.
You
said Spectre.
You said Spectre.
Spectre. Inspector. I thought he said Spectre.
Well, this has got off to a good start.
It has. It's flying.
Yeah, you've given us the
latest
joke.
Listen, about your dress. I saw a lady... About six weeks ago, had the same thing, and I don't know if you've copied her. She had
I would have copied her.
Yeah, no, what there's nothing in original. She was walking in town here.
Oh yeah, I would have seen her. Yeah, and
her. Well, why have you got your braces down around your knees? Well, what she had was a pair of tartan slacks on, and the belts were crisscrossed at the back. Could you visualise that?
She was wearing two.
She's wearing one pair of slacks. Seriously. And I just thought it was interesting what they did with the belts, crisscrossing them down the back of her legs. Now, he's got his braces on with a pair of shorts. How eccentric is that? And the braces are hanging down around his knees.
Sorry, when you say braces, do you mean...
Suspenders.
Suspenders.
Mm.
They're called braces, Max.
Don,
Is it a new look?
I'm writing this down. I think I might... Actually, as we speak, try and get Doc Fordham on the line. You've gone mad.
Have you looked at yourself?
You said, did I see a woman walking down with tartan slacks and braces and have I copied her?
Yeah. Because I saw this woman walking around town just up.
Do you got any shout-outs to give to people who, A, you don't know, and B, you don't know, listen to the podcast like you've done in the last 2 weeks? One young netballer, you said you peered over the fence looking at her, and then some other woman in the AFWL, you said was overweight or something, and you're giving a shout-out to her. You don't know their names, and you don't know if they listen to the podcast, which defeats the purpose of giving shout-outs.
I didn't shout out to the lady who was overweight.
Oh, he just called her out. That's fair enough. It's all right.
Anyhow, seeing as we're on to shout outs, I'll start this off.
We've got to do this at the end.
The what?
We've got to do shout outs at the end of the segment.
In case the doc.
Well, he's a producer.
Well,
is Mr. Fordham on the line today, 2 weeks in a row?
No, he's not.
No, you've just said that.
But it's continuity, Don, seeing as that I was asking about shout-outs, so I'm going to get this out of the way. I was over in Mount Gambier during the week with Ricky Nixon.
Oh.
Ricky, we flew over on Rex.
On Rex?
Rex, not Rex Hunt, you idiot. Regional Express, propeller-driven plane.
Talk about a rat pack.
And we flew over. Have a listen to this. This is how tickety-boo, we flew over and we had to put masks on the plane because the edict was that you couldn't fly without a mask. And then on the return trip, didn't have to wear a mask because they'd taken it off. So you could fly over with the mask on and you could fly back with it off. So that's just how... you wait till we get on to some of the things going on in this state and in this country. So I'm giving a shout out to a lass called Candice.
From Mount Gambier?
From Mount Gambier. And in fact, it's getting to the stage, Don, where we can't give shout outs or cheerios.
What you doing? What's your son doing behind you?
We can't give shout outs or cheerios to. Because too many people are listening and they say we listen, and I try to get their names, but sometimes I haven't got paper to write them down on. So we have a lot of people listening, Don.
Why don't you get organised and just take a little notepad in that bag of yours with a pen?
Yeah, because sometimes I don't have my bag or a little notepad. And now, so... I want to just address. Did you know, Don, that the Queen has passed on?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that had probably been in the papers. You might have seen.
Oh, I've been in the papers. It hasn't been off television.
And I'm a royalist, and I think it's great.
Are you a royalist?
Yes, I hope really? I speak clearly, Don.
Well, I'm questioning.
Well, I just said I was. A royalist, but I don't mind if we have a debate about being a republic. That's okay. I think we have that treacherous grub, Adam Bandt, who wouldn't stand or do anything in front of the Australian flag, but as soon as the Queen... I don't think her body was cold, and he said that we should have a discussion about a republic. If we could just let the person who ruled this country, if you like...
But also on his tweet he added about the Indigenous Treaty. So he offered his condolences and then at the bottom mentions about a republic and Indigenous Treaty.
Yeah,
I cut the man a little bit of slack.
Cut him no slack.
No, hang on. When Lydia Thorpe got a little bit out of hand, I cut him some slack. I thought she should have been pulled into line by the leader of the Greens. She was very outspoken in the Senate and... really needed to be tempered. He should have done that. He said nothing. I thought,
because he's a
now. Just hang on. So I cut him a bit of slack on that one. But then he wouldn't stand in front of the Australian flag. And at the Winter Ball, did you see the Winter Ball was on last week? I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, in Canberra, and his friend, his partner, I think it was his partner, was dressed and looked very nice in a white dress, but. On the white dress were black and white protest lines, you know, clean air or something.
Yeah,
it was all done in black and white.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to the ball.
No, but Don,
you know, there's a time. And then standing beside him was another Green senator.
Because they're dribbling.
With a white dress on, and she had another slogan printed on the back of that dress.
Because now, they're dribbling sycophants, they got that from the Oscars when all the stars came out and dressed in dresses that said something about climate change or some bullshit. Wait till we get on to climate change and wait till we get on electric vehicles.
Hang on. The other thing we should go a little bit further is he represents, or these Greens represent...
He represents nothing.
Hang on. He does. He represents in Victoria, inner Melbourne. That is people around in the shires or the municipalities of Moreland, City of Yarra and City of Melbourne. And those particular suburbs, at Moreland they wanted to change all the names and get rid of one particular name. City of Yarra is always in the... in the news for what it is doing. It's made up of so-called Greens. And Melbourne City are wanting to get rid of Australia Day.
Yeah, because Sally Capp has...
is it Sally Capp or the others?
Sally Capp has has bent to the demands of the Greens. That's probably how she stays in office.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is the Melbourne Council dominated by Greens?
So, you got to do I know this for a fact. You got to do deals if you want to become the mayor. You got to do deals with the factions. I know that because I was asked to do that when I was going to stand as the mayor. So that's
even in theory, you have to do deals.
Here's the thing about the this is what's going on. So the AFWL or whatever they're called, they
hang on, are we still talking about the monarch or not?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, we are?
We right. are talking about the monarch. The AFWL scrapped the planned minute silence for the departed Queen. Now, I reckon it's gone on a bit over the top, the Queen, but I tell you what, if we could just pay respects to her and then move on without actually having to bag her or say untoward things about her, because she reigned for 70 years, and don't forget that that country provided the people, whether you like it or not, 250 years ago or in 1776, to come here and make this country what it is today. And we give thanks to the Indigenous people for, and we pay respects, but I tell you what, this is going over the top. They cancelled the minute silence or the respect, but they went on with the welcome to country. The welcome to country has almost taken over every part of this society. The football, sport, everywhere you go, it's welcome to country. They have no intention of reconciling this country to be united. It is a... it is just, it goes on and on, and it's upheld by the AFL, who divide this country better than anyone, and we know this better than anyone, Don, because we were part of it. We had this sensible discussion about Mr. Winmar, and the AFL stuck their bib in, showing their bias and their false sensitivity of what they think they are, their social elites pandering to a minority that doesn't have to be pandered to. I reckon most of the Indigenous people actually feel cringeworthy when it goes on, because they have no intention of... they just show their stupidity by doing it. And I don't know how many times we have... it's almost the welcome to country almost takes over every sporting event. It's just not necessary to do. And if you're going to cancel it from when the monarch dies to put on... the welcome to country in place of it, mate. If people can't see through all that to show just what's going on. So why we actually have to... So then we have people like... We had miserable, sad people like Slattery. Jeff Slattery used to be... Well, Jeff Slattery, what a miserable, sad...
Now, hang on. Well, people, you and I know who Jeff Slattery is.
Yeah, he's a miserable, don't. Yeah,
but well, why
sad...
bring something? You're being very personal, and no. Yeah.
Oh, well, so he tweets. No. He tweets. You know, he
yeah,
tweets.
But the general
he says,
public don't
I'm
know
glad who... the football's on because we have to not wear black outfits to have some entitled rich person or whatever he said that come from another country. So that's if you couldn't pay respect to the Queen. Who is, so whether you like it or not, we are part of the Commonwealth.
If you we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the British anyway.
This is what I just said, Don. This is what I just said. How about a bit of quid pro quo from the people who were here in the first place? That's the Indigenous people who we give thanks to and pay respects to at every turn and delighted to do it. How about they say, how about we all unite and say, well, this country is here because people came from the country that the Queen represented many years ago and made this country what it is today. If we couldn't all get on, but they, the AF have no interest in uniting this country. They're just divided because it's a money spinner, and the AFL fall over themselves to show that we are.
I see one club is one AFLW club. Participated in Indigenous Week last week, and they're celebrating it again this weekend.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I don't think they're celebrating it. They're paying respects to Uncle.
Yeah, but how do you do that? I don't remember. 2 weeks. I thought there's Indigenous round. Fine. Why do it a second week?
Because no one pushes back in case they're accused of being racist, which has nothing to do with it. It is just projection from people who have
and I was sent intimidated a text. By. Okay, I was sent a text also, and it involved a radio station trying to get to the bottom of all of this. I don't know who sent it to me, but they tried to get Nicole Livingston. This is 3OW, Carolyn Wilson. And
oh, please.
No, hang on. Just listen.
Don't cite her as an authority about anything, please.
Well, I think they tried to get Nicole Livingston on. They were discussing what we're talking about. She's head of the AFLW, and she went missing. Wouldn't pick up a phone to explain why the AFLW wasn't respecting the Queen.
Well, this is my point, Don. This is my point. No one ever pushes back like you just did then, or me, or anyone, and say, how about you just grow up and stop pandering to people that you think you have to fall over backwards to placate.
Also, it was interesting, just talking about Carolyn Wilson, they were discussing Lee
Please
Matthews.
Please don't talk about that person.
Just, will you be quiet?
Right.
On 3OW, she said, and Lee Matthews was involved in the pre-game discussion, it's hard to quantify what the AFLW brings to TV rights and revenue. Lee Matthews, no, it's easy to quantify. It brings basically nothing.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's fair comment, because the amount of money you paid for the TV rights wouldn't be predicated on the AFWL playing football or not, would it? It's being shoved down our throats. Yeah, of course it. But Lee Matthews is absolutely correct. It's just an inclusive thing for because this is the way society's headed. We're including everyone in everything in every department. So this is the ignorance of people. So there's a bloke on Sky News called Ashish Joshi, and he's speaking about the Queen lying in Westminster Abbey. And I thought, holy mackerel, if you couldn't get someone to actually call Westminster Abbey what it's actually called as opposed to Westminster Abbey, they're just paying lip service to people who give jobs. It must be a quota system. How couldn't you actually know what you're talking about when you're speaking about the Queen lying in state in Westminster Abbey? It's not Westminster Abbey, Ashish, it's Westminster Abbey. And then Pauline Hanson, tell me, do you think this is fair comment or not? Pauline Hanson said, because a bloke said, we're speaking to a fellow senator, his name is, just can't find his name, but he said this to this person, which doesn't make any sense if I can't find his name. Mehran Farooqi said, I cannot mourn a leader of a racist empire built on stolen lives, land and colonised people. This is what... And Pauline Hanson said, tell me if you think this is fair comment. She said, your attitude appalls and disgusts me. When you migrated to Australia, you took every advantage of the country. You took citizenship, bought multiple homes and a job, and got a job in Parliament. It's clear... You're happy. It's clear you're not happy, so pack your bags and piss off back to Pakistan, she said. Because he's... do you think that's fair comment or not?
I think Pauline Hanson reflects what a lot of us think but haven't got the courage to say.
Well, that was my point of reading that out. And that's a bit like slattery and a bit... All the people... If you could just say, yep, we're sorry about the Queen... I think it's gone on too much. I honestly do. But if we could just pay respects to her without bagging her, I don't know why you could find any reason to bag that person. Apparently, if you get your jollies off and you feel placated and you feel warm and fuzzy inside by bagging it, honestly, miserable, sad people.
So while we're still talking about the monarch, I've just got a few quick questions for both of you to open up a discussion. One, are you surprised that Prince Charles took up the opportunity to call himself king? It's not just after the Queen died, because people were stunned by that, which I'm not sure why, because that's the rightful line of succession. He then becomes king, even though he can choose his title. Two, Prince Andrew was seen in public and already caused quite a stir. He was seen groping above the person he was with, which was lovely.
Wait, hang on. Groping the person he was with?
Yeah. He bent down to drop some flowers and just caressed the backside of it. What? That's, come on.
Don't tumble into all that nonsense. If the Queen was the Queen and she's passed on, and the next entitled inheritant, the person above her or to take her place is called the King, and that happens to be Charles, what else would you call him?
I'm just saying, if there was something that came out at the time that said he can choose what to call himself. He had a few options,
he can't choose what to call him. He's the King.
They said he had a few options. I don't know specifically
what other options be?
I don't know off the top of my head. It's
people who are making up stuff to try and degrade that institution, which, for heaven's sake, if it wasn't the royal family weren't in Buckingham Palace and the royals weren't in England, it'd be nothing.
I'm not denying that.
Hang on. What would be nothing? It's a fascinating business, the royal thing. If you really break it down, it is a huge financial business.
That is exactly my point, Don.
It is a business. What does it produce?
It produces tourism, and it produces
She was the wealthiest lady in the world.
It produces
land holdings, unbelievable. They don't pay taxes. It is a bit of a rort in today's society.
Of course it is, Don, but it is a thing that Great Britain hangs its hat on.
I get no argument.
The way they do it,
you've got to take their hat off. The way those soldiers and guards and whatever else present themselves is just unbelievable.
And it is a great theatrical production. You were groping someone, did you, Max?
Oh, yeah, it was on video.
He's been put down
enough.
It's
on video.
He was put down enough. He had to walk through Edinburgh in his civvies. The others had their uniforms on. And I am also a little critical. We know what he's done, but for that he was an Australian, yelled out. He had a Melbourne...
he had a football jumper on.
Melbourne City football hoodie on. Melbourne City?
Yeah, the soccer club, team. Football. Same places.
And he yelled out. I think he was out of place as well.
Well, he's been breached with disturbing the peace. He's going to court.
Prince Andrew, it was over with Jeffrey Epstein's caravan over there and the wherever, you know.
Mm. Yeah, in the islands.
Yeah. How come Bill Clinton, who flew on the plane 26 times, has escaped probing at all? Do you think there is a bias?
Well, we know what the Clintons do.
Yes, we know what the Clintons do, but no, they get
the whole lot of it's corrupt.
Have we spoken about Liz Truss as well?
What, the Prime Minister?
Yeah, who was renowned for, in her early days of Parliament, to try and get rid of or abolish the monarchy.
Yeah. Well, I know she did all that. Wasn't she anti-Brexit as well, or did she come across because of Brexit?
No, she came across... No, she was anti... No, she was for Brexit. She was. But, I don't know, I just thought it was ironic that she was the newly appointed Prime Minister and the Queen's passed, and now she's involved with all of this
As I said a couple of weeks ago, I reckon politicians are the lowest of lows. There used to be horse traders, car salesmen, insurance salesmen, now politicians. They sell their soul.
Anyhow, Don, we would give just a... I will give just a minor... some slack to the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, who said he has no intention of the debate about the Republic until his first term is up, which is reasonable. And he said respect what the Queen was. And he probably is on very much the side of this country becoming a Republic, but at least he had the decency to respect just the passing of the Queen and not jump on the bandwagon like that low IQ clown Bant said, who immediately said, oh no, and went on with the whole nonsense about just projection and being just a fuckwit.
What influence does the monarchy currently have in Australia?
Well, our system is based on the Westminster system. Our whole system of government is based on the Westminster system, which is. Well, you've got your elected parliament. Have a look at it. We have followed the Westminster system.
Yeah, we have an elected...
They have House of Commons, House of Lords. We have the lower house and the upper, or the Senate, or whatever house.
And the Prime Minister comes from the elected party, as opposed to a republic like America, where the president...
The Governor-General represents the Queen in Australia.
So we're a part of the Commonwealth, and if we don't wish to be part of the Commonwealth, we become a republic.
I often reflect
so Albanese has a chance to become the President of Australia.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't?
No. Well, he does if he puts himself up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But do you have to have another? Do we have to have another election?
Eddie McGuire, when they had this the debate many years ago, he was almost the preferred. He was almost the preferred head of the Republic.
Well, he and Turnbull were both involved very heavily in that. But I often think, you know, you talk about, you know, Australia. I would think if we turned the clock back to the Second World War, if it wasn't for the Americans, the English, or that route system, what would have happened to Australia if Japan had invaded Australia and got through and occupied Australia? Have you ever thought the outcome? We wouldn't be talking like we're talking now.
No, we wouldn't, Don.
I think respect has got to be given to the past.
Right, so...
The other thing I watched last night, I don't know if you watched it, but it occurred to me, I was watching Rachel Griffiths. She's got a terrific show on art, and she was talking about and doing Albert Namatjira. Albert Namatjira was an Indigenous artist and who learnt water painting, watercolour painting, and he painted true, unless you go up there to the Central Australia and see the colours. I thought he was taking a bit of poetic licence, but those colours really do exist, and he captured the colours of the landscape. And it dawned on me, she went and interviewed at Hermannsburg, that's a Aboriginal settlement out of Alice Springs, Albert Namatjira's granddaughter, who was speaking in her Indigenous tongue, her native tongue. And it just occurred to me then, they're talking about a voice to Parliament. I would like to know how they're going to get a consensus within the communities when there are hundreds, and there must be hundreds of different dialects in the Aboriginal language. How are they going to get a consensus, because with all these different... what would you call them? Tribes.
Yep.
How are they going to get a consensus and go to Parliament? I think they've got a real problem getting a consensus within their own Indigenous communities.
Yes, Don. Absolutely.
And I think the wants, and just looking at those people, they're desert dwellers. Their issues are completely different to the so-called urban Indigenous people. And I think it's being driven by... I think it's not right what's happening, but I reckon they've got to get their act together before they start doing this call, you know, voice to Parliament, the Indigenous community.
But how are they to do that?
And I think it's going to promote... I think it's going to...
I agree with you, but how are they going to do it? What's the best way to go about it?
I don't know.
Well, I really don't know.
I've given you the problems that I think they face, and they're organic problems and very, very basic, is that all these different communities or tribes or whatever you like to say, how are they going to come together?
Now, speaking of the Queen, Don...
We won't go any further with that discussion.
Of course we will, Don. But I'm just... This is speaking of the Queen, I don't know how they quantify this, but this was, they said she would be, would she be the most recognised person in the world?
No.
And that's correct, Max. And they, so my next question is, who do they, who do you think they said was the most recognised person in the world, whether they're
Cristiano Ronaldo,
whether they're alive or they're dead?
Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck,
Ronaldo, Messi, Hitler.
All very good. Hitler. I said Hitler, but they said apparently the Chinese wouldn't have heard a lot about Hitler in the day.
That's probably, I don't know.
So anyhow, you can guess on, but they said the most recognised person in the world.
Michael Jordan?
Buddha.
Michael's his first name.
Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Now, how would you quantify that? But they said because he was absolutely planetary, known across the planet, every country.
He was changed amazing, a lot as well. He was simply an amazing artist.
And that's a pedophile.
I understand. I said artist.
No,
artist.
That's right. No, I know. I just, I know you said that, Don. And here's
that's
another.
That's especially impressive considering he changed so much throughout his time on Earth.
Yes.
And they still recognised him.
And I could this is I could ask you a sporting question about they also said, I was watching a television program and they said a dog, this has nothing to do with the Queen or anything, or anyone that, they said a dog had a nose more sensitive than humans by how many times?
10 times.
I said 10. I thought it was 10. They said 100,000 times more sensitive than the human nose. How would you quantify that, Don? How would you decide that a dog has a nose that has a nose 100,000 times more sensitive than the human breathing apparatus, the nose? How would you quantify that? It's like saying they think dolphins are colourblind. How would you know any of that, Don? Would
I'm
you
thinking,
think a dog
you've
has
made, you've
a
made
nose,
me think. No, you've made me think.
Would you think a dog has a nose 100,000 times more sensitive than a human's? Which means what? He could smell what could smell something from here
he
to the dandenongs, could he, or what? What does that mean?
How would you? What's a similar contrast? An ant to an aeroplane. That's and so in terms of size, it couldn't be. That's not
100. No. Sensitivity.
Is it a certain dog breed?
No, just dogs.
Just dogs in general. Well, yeah. That's talking about your
They said it on the on this program I was watching, and I replayed it to see if I hadn't misheard it. And I said that is just ridiculous. No. How could a dog?
General basis, it's 10 times. It has to be.
Interesting, isn't it? You've made me reflect on that. When dogs greet one another for the first time.
Yeah, they put their hooter up each other's ass. Don. Yeah. Which Peter, we don't do that more often.
I wonder why.
And 100,000 times more sensitive when you put your hooter up someone's coit. Tell you what, that'll bring a tear to your eye. Now, Don. Don.
Charming.
Don. Now, this is sort of sport, but it's on the same realm of who do you think is the highest paid coach in Australian sport? That's in Australia.
Based in Australia now.
Based in Australia. This is I'm just assuming this because I'll who do you reckon is the highest paid coach of football or
I'm thinking of the various sports. There's rugby league, there's basketball, there's AFL.
Yep.
Basketball wouldn't be that much.
I said rugby league, rugby union.
Is it the Australian cricket coach?
Tennis? No.
Yeah, tennis or cricket? Yeah, cricket. All that. Or any sport in Australia. Who do you reckon's highest paid coach?
Well, the way you're phrasing it sounds like it's going to be the head of table tennis or something like that.
No, I'm assuming this. I don't know this for a fact.
What coach has the biggest influence on their sport?
Go. Okay, go.
The coach of the Storm, Craig Bellamy.
Oh, really?
Okay, that makes sense.
I believe he's on about... I think he's on about $2 million a year.
Really?
I believe that to be the case. I'm wondering.
Well, can we get Matt Tripp on the phone?
Well, he probably wouldn't confirm or deny that.
Why not?
Well, why would he?
He wouldn't lie, being an ex-Sumption boy. Well, he would tell us.
Well, he might say he doesn't want to answer that. He wouldn't confirm or deny it one way or the other. But I believe he is on about that.
And he is an outstanding coach, isn't he? And is
recompensed accordingly. But I don't think anyone else. I think the highest paid AFL coach would be on about a mil, wouldn't he?
No, more than that.
Would Damien Hardwick be on more than a mil?
Clarkson was on more than that.
Yeah, he's not currently in the AFL. Oh no, he's with.
Yeah, what was he on? Oh, about
one. Well, I 1.1, 1.2.
Oh right. 3. Well, about a mil, I said.
I think he'd be on more at North. I think he's on 1.4.
Now, Storm or Craig might deny this.
How was the game?
But it doesn't matter. I'm not. We're not. We're not.
Excuse me. How was the game on Saturday?
No good.
No
I
good.
Went to the Storm game.
I know.
No
that's
good.
Why I'm asking.
Why are the wheels falling off Storm? Is it a chink in their personalities? Because a little bit of controversy is starting to come out as far as character.
Disinterested players.
Never heard anything in years gone by about Storm and their character. I thought they were exemplary the way they conducted themselves in comparison to other rugby league teams.
That's because they had Hall of Famers.
But now, over the last couple of years, a couple of things have come out.
I don't know enough about it to give a quantitative comment on it, but the general people who know, the people in the know, said that their defence was very ordinary.
What about the personality?
They allowed people to run right through them.
Yes, but what about personality? Have they got a problem personality-wise?
Well,
some of them are looking, see that they're interested in going elsewhere. They haven't got their heart in it.
That's literally what I just said. Yes, what, Max?
You're talking about... what's the nickname? Cheese. What's his name?
Munster.
No, not Munster. Munster's the captain. He's very good. Pappenhausen's not there, which is unfortunate. Well, who is the... is it Smith?
Yes, Cameron Smith.
No, not Cameron. The dude is called Cheese. Who do they... You know, he's going to the Roosters next year. He's made that openly... He might know.
Is he?
Mm. No, he's going up. No, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He's built like a square.
They got a big man that played. Did you see that forward? I think he's a forward.
Yes.
The big fellow, what's his name?
I don't know.
He is huge. Yeah, and he got a touchdown. What do they call it? A try the other day.
And they
couldn't hold him.
I went to the Storm game and they are tough, strong, very good athletes, very skillful at what they do. You might think it's a pretty basic game, and it probably is, as when you look at the dappy crap that we carry on with in our game today. But
they've cleaned the game
Brandon
up.
Smith.
The game used to be Brandon Smith. They've cleaned the game up. Rugby league was brutal at one stage.
It's still brutal, Don. But
not as bad as what it was.
It's only not as snide, but it's still brutal. They are allowed to run as hard as they
like. Oh, yes, but they used to let them fly fist-wise.
Yes.
And the other thing of beauty about rugby league, for those who wish to play, ladies who wish to play a man's, a sport dominated, played by men, rugby league lends itself to the way women, and I thoroughly enjoy watching women play rugby league.
Do you, Don?
Yes.
You
want to
got any shout outs that people
I don't
do know?
Not know the ladies, right. But they've got some terrific athletes.
Now, I tell you what we'll do, Don.
Is there
play
a league?
That game.
Is there a league for it?
Yes, but they've done it a little bit different to us, in as much as they've only got a certain number, maybe say half a dozen teams. So their talent is concentrated in maybe those half dozen teams. So the standard is very good. Whereas in our game, there are 18 teams now. So the talent is spread thin. And that doesn't do anything for the product. Here am I watching and enjoying watching rugby league played with ladies because I'm watching the best.
Ladies.
Here.
Where are you watching it?
Well, on television when it's on.
When is it?
Anyway, we won't go into that. But what I'm seeing with the AFLW, some ladies can't even kick the ball.
Yeah.
Again, though, it's
Don.
Not their fault. It's okay.
Whose fault is it? They're
it's
out there
AFL
playing
for,
the game.
It's the AFL for being pressured to expand them.
What we might do, Don and Max, just so people don't... We might wind this up and then come back because we've got... And then we'll
You're producing now.
We'll have a look.
Oh, yeah, always have.
We'll have a chat about some other things that we've got got to speak about here. Ooh. Joe Danaher. I seriously won't.
Okay.
Here we go.
And then we've got a...
if he turns up, we've got a very interesting interview coming up, Don.
So I used to go swimming with Jack Charles.
We should probably say something before this. Jack Charles
passed away.
Who's this?
Jack Charles
is
an Indigenous actor.
Yes.
Now, Jack used to live at the Salvation Boys' home in Box Hill.
Yes.
And we used to go swimming in the Box
Hill
pool.
You and Jack?
No, well, Jack was in the group. A million kids used to go and swim in that 25 or 30 mm-hmm. 20, it was only a small pool. And so Jack was down there, and we used to play with Jack when we were young, you know, six, seven.
And so we're paying respects to the late Jack
Charles.
Charles?
Uncle Jack Charles, yeah. I think that's why they might be doing some – I don't think it's NAIDOC week because that's obviously held early in the year. I think they're paying their respects this week. Some clubs or in the AFL or AFLW, I think that's leaning towards.
Good reason to pay respects to someone. Not every day, not every week do we have to pay respects to the – founders of the country or the original owners, if we could just not go overboard with all that. But when someone passes on, we pay great respects to them, whether they're white, black, blue or green, don't we?
Well, the other thing to interestingly reflect on, when we were kids playing in the pool at Box Hill, there was nothing to do with race. You just joined in and you played as one.
Of course, of course.
And it was never, ever talked about.
This is my whole point, Don, why we keep going on about this. And I keep saying this podcast was singled out by the most fickle, sycophantic clown who rounded us up for having a very legitimate discussion about... And never get over that. And if you want to see a organisation and a person try and placate their position in life by having a go at us, you've got to see through that.
Oh, listen, by the way, I was speaking to the man who represented us there, Justin Quill, and it might be a little bit of an indication of how this podcast is going because Jason hasn't been consulted and he's a little bit worried about the standard of the podcast.
Who is?
Justin Quill. With regard to litigation, well, we were consulting him quite a bit at one stage about what could go to air and what couldn't go to air. So maybe the edge has been taken off this podcast as it's progressed over the years. If we use that as a guide.
So what would we have to... What would we
He's a litigation lawyer. You thick as a brick.
No, Don, I'm asking you. Who's a very good man, Justin, and we love him. But what do we have to run by Justin?
Well, no, he's saying what he's not calling spoken us. And talked about, oh, you idiot.
What about?
So I think the edge has gone off this podcast.
It's not pushing the boundaries, is it?
We don't have to consult him about speaking about our discussion about why Windmar lifted his jumper up out of Victoria Park.
No, but there were other subjects at one stage.
Like
what?
Oh, push the boundaries.
Going back a couple of years, that's what he said. You boys haven't consulted me in the last couple of years, so I think the edge has gone off this. We'll have to sharpen our game.
Not necessarily. But didn't we consult someone quite recently about...
Have to sharpen our game. Sorry, Max?
Didn't we have to consult someone recently about an interview regarding...
We did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, about the Cameron... the man...
A wonderful ride? Or
yeah, an awesome...
Awesome ride.
An awesome
was
ride.
Was Don here?
Who?
Oh,
God, you're going ratty.
Yeah, no,
he's 75.
We did consult someone, Cameron.
What are you talking
about? About the boy who had two heart transplants.
Oh, that's the interview you did on your own.
No, we were.
Did you talk about it? You were here.
No, I wasn't.
I don't think he was. I think it was Fiona and me. I think Don had left early to go to the Hawthorn lunch.
No, I was in Brisbane, Queensland. I was there.
Oh, yeah,
of
course, righty. Don.
Come on, wind it up, please.
Just a minute, Don. You said that we don't consult Mr. Quill.
Anymore, so the edge has gone off the podcast.
We only were consulting him about that Indigenous stuff, about that vilification.
Well, there were a couple of other things early on that we can set.
That was because of Mick Sheehan.
And we have... absolute disgrace. And in fact, we had a man, the photographer, told lies about us who we sued.
I'm just telling you. Lift your game. What I'm saying is lift your game.
That is why we are absolutely sensitive about all this nonsense about the indigenous people, and we are trying to unite everyone and be one.
Come on,
but they keep trying
please.
To divide us. The AFL are more culpable than anyone.
One proud nation.
What?
One proud nation.
One proud nation.
Come on, wind
and
it up.
You wait till they start waving.
Jeez, you want to remain
you
relevant,
wait till
don't
they
you?
Start
wind the bloody thing up.
Flags overseas other than the Australian flag at sporting events. You wait till that creeps in.
Oh, he's done. Don't do that.
Don't. Please don't touch it. Righto. Here we go. So, all right. That's it.